Right now you are down and out and feeling really crappy.
I'll see.
And when I see how sad you are, it sort of makes me happy.
Happy.
Sorry, Nikki, human nature, nothing I can do. It's Schadenfreude, making me feel glad that I'm not you.
That's not very nice, Gary.
I didn't say it was nice, but everybody does it.
Do you ever clap when a waitress falls and drops a tray of glasses?
Yeah.
And ain't it fun to watch figure skaters falling on their asses?
Sure.
Don't you feel all warm and cozy watching people out in the rain?
You bet.
That's Schadenfreude. People taking pleasure in your pain.
Schadenfreude, huh? What's that, some kind of Nazi word?
Yup, it's German for happiness at the misfortune of others.
Happiness at the misfortune of others. That is German. Watching a vegetarian being told she just ate chicken.
Or watching a frat boy realize just what he put his dick in.
Being on an elevator when somebody shouts, hold the door!
Oh, yeah.
No!
Schadenfreude! You lady, that's what stairs are for!
How about straight-A students getting B's?
X's getting STDs!
Waking doormen from their naps!
Watching tourists reading maps!
Football players getting tackled!
CEOs getting shackled!
Watching actors never reach the ending of their Oscar speech!
Schadenfreude! People like you and me who've been knocked around by fate. Cause when people see us, they don't wanna be us, and that makes them feel great.
Sure, we provide a vital service to society.
You and me, Schadenfreude, making the world a better place. Making the world a better place. Making the world a
E-U-D-E!
So, and so we have come to another episode of the Rick Emerson Extravaganza of Entertainment. Without Rick Emerson.
What do you mean I'm not Rick Emerson?
Who apparently is the glue that holds this entire thing together. I am, I'm Tim Riley. And
I'm Christina Carlson.
And we're here to bring you an exciting
this has been the longest day ever, at least in like internet like podcasting days.
Yes, I am of course Don Taylor, and sitting opposite me is Sarah X. Dillon.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh please sister Oh please sister girl.
Don and I've really been sitting in here by ourselves for 2 hours. We really bonded.
We did, while I was sitting on the phone with Thomas Gill going, why don't the sounds go? If you were listening to the Rick Emerson Show yesterday live, if you're one of a handful of people, you are one of those people, one of the few people who will have had the opportunity to hear me completely fail in every possible way.
Oh, but if you're trying, it's not really failure. Like, it would have failed if you would have left, but you know what? You kept on keeping on. That's respectable.
Sure. Okay.
I didn't hear it, though. So
I'll say, I didn't actually start crying until I was off the air. And if you didn't hear it, well, you're never going to, because I excised. I did not tack that on to to the best ofs played the rest of the day, that went to the archive, that went to the iTunes. So it's buried somewhere in the recesses of history, like somewhere on my laptop. I should probably get rid of that before somebody actually sees it.
I know when I saw Greg last night, he's just like, oh, Dawn looked like she was having a really bad day.
I was having a really bad day.
And then it was jinxed by saying, wow, yesterday was really bad when we were trying to do the show today. You're like, oh, today's going to be so much better.
Today's going to be great. I, like, prepped and I practiced and I got everything all perfect and good and pretty, and it'll be awesome. I can't remember the password for the Meebo account. So, darn, if you wanted to taunt me in the text box today, you're screwed. So I'm just saying that. Darn, I just happened to forget the password for the Meebo account.
You know what? What you really need to do is, while you've been working on trying to fix the technical glitches, is to have people harass you about, not being able to fix them. That'll make you feel a lot better.
Helpful, helpful supportive things like, you suck. Rick should never leave town because you suck. Hey, broke the show.
You know what, Dawn? At least we're not talking about dildos.
Yeah, that's true.
That was not us.
No. Yeah, that's the thing, too. If you were attempting to hear us on Legion of News this morning, we were just getting sort of white noise and crap, and I was sitting here on the phone with Thomas Gill saying, now what do I do? Now which button do I push? Which one is that? Where's that? Then you will find that if you went over to Cascadia.fm, you would have heard ladies talking about dildos, which unfortunately some people, I guess, thought must have been us.
They were. I had some people actually writing me saying, like, okay, so which one of you is talking about girth and which one of you was talking about length? I'm like, really?
Does it matter, sir? Does it really matter? Well, maybe he wanted to know for his own personal reasons, like, I don't have much in the way of length, but the girth girl, I might have a shot with her.
Let me talk to the girth girl. I'm smuggling half a tennis ball can right now. Oh, I'm sorry, Rick.
Yeah. We may have a call, by the way, from Mr. Rick Emerson, because we discovered, again, yesterday, if you were privy to this moment of specialness that was me going, everything sucks and I don't know how to talk, you would have heard the Skype not working as well. And I discovered far too late that apparently there's a known problem with Vista.
Oh.
That Skype, it'll just go, unmuting the microphone. And then you push on it to unmute the microphone. And it says, no, sorry, microphone's still muted. And then you go into all the preferences and it goes, oh, yeah, your microphone's working just fine.
Is that one of them there, like not Mac computers? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that would be one of those not Mac computers. So, also, now I'm just trying to sign into Meebo and nothing's happening. So
Meebo?
Meebo is the text box that we have so people can, like, talk to us and share things with us as if, sometimes, a lot of times they're very funny. Sometimes they just tell us that we're failing.
That's exactly, okay, so we have a text box when Greg and I do Sportlandia, and that's the same thing. I had to, like, actually close it sometimes because some people are really nice. It's like, oh, we're engaging in conversation. Some people are like, who the hell are these people? They suck. I'm like, oh, I don't want to look at that right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a self-esteem booster.
Well, the thing is with Cascadia FM people, because it's not just, like, say, listeners of us. It's people, listeners of the network in general. Mm-hmm. And they will come in and they will just say these very random things like, I like dicks. Or, I'm wearing a frog suit right now. Kind of like, okay, that's helpful.
That sounds kind of porny. I'm wearing a frog suit. Can I jump on anyone?
Some of them are a little porny. So,
do you get a lot of porny, like, text since you're the one checking it?
The thing is, no, but no. In both cases, both the shows I do for Cascadia, Legion of News, Rick took the text box away from me. because...
Oh, that sounds like Rick.
I was like... God help me, I was actually reading it and paying attention to it. And he told me flat out that I was supposed to be paying all of my attention to him.
He used to get mad at me. So background, if anyone ever knows, like Rick and I worked together for years. I was the producer on a show for a long time. And he would sit down and have to have talks with me about the internet. Mm-hmm. Because I would be paying too much attention to what was going on online and I wasn't paying enough attention to the show. Like, and we would have that conversation and be like, Sarah, I need to talk to you. And it was true. I mean, like, I know that you weren't that bad, but I mean, like, I'd be, like, looking on things on the internet, and he's trying to engage me in conversation. I'm like, oh, that's great. So anyway, oh, my God, so-and-so updated their Facebook status? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happens. And then when I do Ham-Fisted Radio, which I will be doing later today, because God help me, apparently, failure that I am, I can't get enough of this radio. I need more opportunities
it
to humiliate
sucks you
myself.
In, sister.
I will be at 4 p.m. Fatboy Roberts and I with Ham-Fisted Radio. And in that case, he is the one who is sitting with the text box. Mm-hmm. So in no case anymore do I actually engage with you. And I think some of our listeners were disappointed because I would actually say, hey, someone said this, or I'd answer them back. And Rick mostly just ignores it.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as it slipped over, they're like, oh, we lost Don. Don was our friend. Don was friend of the text box people.
Well, see, I never ever think that you should consider yourself a failure about that because, I mean, like, regardless of if you thought that you failed for the past few days, like, you're in here doing something that neither I nor basically everybody on the planet would be able to figure out how to do. Like, because I sit where you're sitting right now is where, you know, Rick sits on your show and where Greg sits for Fun Employment Radio. I wouldn't know how the hell to do that. Like, I'm impressed that you took this upon yourself. Seem to stop beating yourself up about it. At least you tried.
Thank you. At least I tried. It's sort of like the reason, though, that I didn't do stand-up comedy for very long because failing in front of a whole lot of people.
People, that'd be terrifying.
You have a job, you screw something up, there's like three people maybe that know. You know, you've got your direct supervisor, maybe a couple of your coworkers. You're slightly embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if we screw up something, there's like a couple of thousand people who are ready to like just jump down our throats and gleefully go, fail, fail.
Oh, no. That's what, as soon as like everything wasn't working, I was getting like emails from our joint listeners going like, what, did Sarah mess up the board? Did she spill something? I'm like, seriously?
I know, the
jackass?
First thing they go to, Sarah must have spilled whiskey on the radio show.
And John Baker, that's at you.
Yeah, John Baker.
John Baker. Does he mess with you guys a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh, you're ringing.
Oh, I got a text. I don't know.
It's someone saying how magical we both sound.
Oh, yeah. No, somebody saying, we can still taunt you through Twitter. Taunt, taunt, taunt. Not if I turn my phone upside down and don't see it light back up. There we go.
So, Don, I appreciate you saying yesterday that you invited me to be on the show because there were, quote, too many men and you needed a woman.
I did.
I'm glad I can be your fill-in breasts and vagina.
Well, there are... I do find it interesting that there are a lot of ladies, at least in our, you know, immediate podcast universe.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it is still much like broadcasting, and I would imagine like show business in general. It is still very much sort of a male medium. It's mostly guys.
I'm not used to, I mean, like working in radio for 10 years, I'm not used to working with women at all because I've just worked with men and dealt with them my entire, you know, working career for the most part. It's like sometimes I feel like that stinted me in a way to like be able to work with females. I like it. Like, I mean, like working with the Blazers, like they're all really nice. It's just like I'm always a little gun shy about it because I'm not used to them. I'm like, oh, well, they like me.
Well, I went to a thing many months back. It was a thing about empowering girls, and it was for young ladies.
Was it the vagina monologues?
It wasn't that empowering.
Have you ever been to that?
God, no.
Okay, me neither.
But there was a panel, and I only went to the one panel. It was at the Kennedy School, and it was on women in media. And I went because Courtney Hameister was on it, and April Baer. And I knew I wanted to meet April because we get Ryan White from the Oregon, and they're married, and Ryan's awesome, so
see,
I wanted to meet.
And I've never met Courtney, and she just seems amazing. And yeah. I've always wanted to meet her, but our paths have never crossed.
Yeah, I have this whole story about humiliating myself that way, but that's another story that I've already told her. Anyway, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
But yeah, they were talking about this stuff, and they were talking about podcasting in general, because there were a couple of women there that do podcasting, and Courtney, you know, produces as well as writes and does LimeWire.
Very
show.
Multifaceted.
And there was enough about like women breaking into things and women doing stuff. And nobody, I had one of those things where you're at a panel discussion, and sadly, there were only probably about eight people in the room anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of felt like I needed to say something. And I was kind of like going, well, you know, we do this, and I do a show on Cascadia, and we started this thing. And I said, here's the thing, if the tools are so affordable and so easily available to anyone now, to do podcasting,
mm-hmm.
that if more women aren't doing it, we only have ourselves to blame.
Well, then there are some women who are thinking about doing it that I don't think should do it.
Well, there is that, too. But there are a lot of women. I think there is this.
I mean, I'm
we as
pro females, take it. Sisters, take it back.
We as a gender have this tendency to just go, oh no, I wouldn't be good enough.
No, but there are females that are very talented and females that have something to give, and there are females that are detrimental. to progressing in broadcasting as a female broadcaster. Yes. There are ones that set us, can I say, set us back a little bit?
Yeah, but they have plenty of chutzpah. Let's call it. They have maybe an misplaced sense of over self-confidence in their abilities. And that, and the thing is, this is something men have always known. Confidence and attitude will take you a really long way. They, you know, talent will take you so far, but confidence and attitude will take you a really long way. And you can get really far with very little actual talent. If you're just really super confident and you just go...
If you tell everybody,
you're awesome.
I'm the greatest thing in the world.
If you tell everyone that famous people are your friends.
Not that I'm speaking about anybody specific, but I mean, that inflated sense of self-worth is just ridiculous.
If you're just on Twitter all of the time talking about how great you are,
those are the people
will believe you.
Those are the people that shouldn't start their own...
No.
Oh, I almost swore. Sorry. Their own stuff. Because... You just make us all look like we're not trying. Like, we all, like, because if you act like you deserve it, nobody deserves anything. You work for what you get.
Oh.
Like, work for what you get. You don't deserve it. Like, don't act like you're cutting edge and...
Yeah.
Did you see that? When it's all like, I'm finally going to do this. No!
We're doing this thing where we're gossiping about people that you may or may not know.
Dude, anyone, if anyone's on the Twitters or on the Facebook, you know exactly what we're talking
about. Yeah. So, speaking of which...
can we talk about what we're imbibing?
Here's the thing is that one thing that's great about being in our position and having awesome, awesome listeners who love us and take care of us and care about our well-being is that they feel for us when we're in pain. Like yesterday, I got this, I was suffering and doing my, well, Monday was kind of rough. It wasn't as bad as Tuesday, but Wednesday was a little rough.
And then not as bad as Wednesday.
and then they were bad in completely different ways. But Rick Rutherford, one of our listeners, sent a message saying, I'm going to stop by the studio and bring you cheap whiskey and diet and Coke Zero. And I was like, okay. And when everything was over and sort of between everything failing and me bursting into tears, I went into the kitchen and there was a lovely bag there with a little pint bottle of cheap Canadian whiskey.
And we've been kind of drinking some of the Maker's Mark. We were told that it was okay. Is it okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because Aaron had said like that Siegfried had brought it in.
Yeah, Siegfried brought it in and he left it. And so it's kind of, yeah. But yes, and then a listener was hearing our pain with our technical difficulties during Legion of News and stopped by and brought us a couple of giant bottles of Imperial Stout, which we are enjoying right now.
Thank you very much, listener Michael.
Yes.
It's Lagunitas Imperial Stout. And he left it down by the door for us. That was so nice.
And I don't believe he's the same Michael who CC'd me yesterday on the email to Rick to tell Rick how much I suck. But made sure I was copied on it so that I knew. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
But wow, I hate it when people do that. Mm-hmm. Man, there was this guy who was writing to, he wrote, so I don't know if you know, if you don't know who I am, but I'm Sarah. I do a podcast called Fun Employment Radio. And my counterpart is Greg Nibbler, who's the host. And so this guy who I'd known for a really long time, like he was a listener of the Rick Emerson Show when I worked on it, and he wrote the most horrifically mean email, and it took me like a couple days to get over it, even though, you know, like you're supposed to have like thick skin, and it's not supposed to hurt. But, you know, like, you know, because Greg is an actor, and so he gets like acting jobs and whatnot. And so this guy wrote this email to Greg talking about how much he disliked me, and then saying, and then like, then he wrote one directly to me saying, maybe that's why Greg is employed and you are not.
Oh, dear. Oh, God.
It hurt my feelings. I'm like, God, I didn't think anyone could, a stranger could hurt me this much anymore.
Well, you know, you're just some person on the radio. You don't have actual feelings.
That's exactly
like a real person.
Like, that's what people think. It's like, okay, we're talking, so I'm not an actual human being with, you know, struggling to pay my bills and everything else. Nope. As long as you feel better about yourself insulting me, that's all right.
So, you are doing, you and Greg have now jumped to the big wide world of webcasting.
I know.
And
it's crazy.
You are we're legal employees of the Trailblazer organization.
I don't know what they're thinking. Don, whenever Greg and I go in there, we feel like we're like we cheated something. Like, it's like not supposed to be happening. Like, I walk in and
like
people are like,
somebody's going to go, wait a minute.
No, we made a mistake. It wasn't you. No, so Greg and I, you know, and Greg is resplendent in like his beanie and, you know, like baggy jacket. And I'm like, walking around with my weird multicolored hair. I'm like, why are we here? And it's, like, amazing. Like, being in, and this isn't, like, kiss ass because, you know, it's like, oh, they're my boss. No, but seriously, like, walking around Blazers headquarters, everybody is so happy to be there. Like, it's, it just reminds me of, like, working in radio years ago where, like, people are just so excited and everyone has all these ideas. And
I've heard it's kind of like that at Nike.
Yeah, I think it's the same kind of thing where everyone is just friendly and happy and there's just, like, a huge team camaraderie. And it's just, it's really cool to be in that kind of, you know, that atmosphere, you know, considering the last time I was in radio, like, we were basically being shunned. And nobody would talk to us anymore.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Rick has, yeah, Rick has talked about that, about how, like, everyone was ignoring us until we got fired.
Well, Bobby Roberts, Fatboy Roberts, wrote a really nice little essay that's on his blog about KUFO likening it to a tarted up old something or other that's a carcass finally crawled under the...
Listen to how well we're, like, controlling our language. You should have heard Don and I, like, throughout the past 2 hours. It was like Tourette's Central in here.
Well, it's, that's what you do, though. You know, you have that great ability to just, you know, swear like a longshoreman when you're on Fun Employment Radio. But then when you don't, when you're in a situation where you're not supposed to swear, like as a professional employee of the Trailblazers.
I know!
Or here where Rick likes to, you know, Rick likes to keep it kind of PG-13.
You know, we had Rick on our show talking about Mormons and soaking the other day, and he totally said the F word.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, once he gets off the air,
Rick
since the mic is off.
Rick has the worst language.
He will use that F word like 3 or 4 different ways in a sentence. It's just...
And I love it. It's like magical. It's like, you know, people say like ums or ahs. Rick just says...
I quoted him as saying something using, you know, a mother effer kind of a thing, you know, on Facebook. And someone's like, oh, my God, Rick swears. Like, oh, you have no idea.
Oh, I think no, he feels it's like magical.
It's like he has to make up for it.
No, it's like he makes profanity beautiful. He does. Like, he really encompasses, like, he uses the words to their fullest advantage.
So,
I think the Lagunese is kicking in. I just realized that I did water aerobics this morning and did not eat breakfast or lunch.
Oh, that's not good.
I know.
I don't have anything tasty to offer you either. I brought like the worst lunch for myself possible, which I still haven't eaten, by the way.
Actually, I have my frozen food right there, baked chicken breast, okay. But it's in there. But you know what I am wearing, Don, is that perfume that you told me about, remember a couple of years ago?
So you smell like orange pound cake or something.
I smell like cupcakes. Because you smelled so good. So like back in a few years ago, when we would have Don on AM 970, she always smelled so
nice.
Good, and I actually, like, cornered her one day. I'm like, okay, you need to tell me, like, where you get that smell.
You know who smelled good? We had Seth Aaron Henderson from Project Runway in here, and he was like...
Oh, he's the dapper guy,
yeah,
right?
He's kind of the gothy kind of Nine Inch Nails-y kind of looking guy, and he smelled so good, and I just told him flat out, I said, you know, this may be an awkward thing to hear, but you are the best-smelling guest we have ever had, and... He said, well, and then he named some incredibly expensive men's cologne that I don't remember what it was.
Well, of course not.
But it was pretty awesome.
I think, Nibs is just writing me. He's going to come to the studio at 2. Do we have room for a man in here?
Oh, absolutely. We got plenty of room for a man.
Come in, but we have no beer for him.
No. Well, you can have the rest of my...
Your steel reserve.
My malt liquor, my steel reserve that I
mean, we haven't been having a couple of beers while we've been having technical difficulties.
I didn't drink. You were disappointed in me that I was not drinking fast enough, actually.
No, well, I didn't. You know, I wasn't sure. Like, you know, actually, when I was catching the bus today, I was passing by the liquor store. I'm like, oh, should I maybe stop and see if Dawn wants anything? I'm like, oh, no, maybe she won't. Because I know that, you know, you're running the board and everything. It's kind of stressful.
Well, some days you want to be completely, totally sharp. Because of the stress, and you want to be like at the top of your game to think that. And then some days you realize being sharp at the top of my game got me nothing. And so now I'll just pop a couple of Vicodin and drink a giant beer.
Do you want to come with us to
Theoretically.
Theoretically. Weren't we talking about poor man's eight balls earlier, or like speedballs? So I was holding up a can of malt liquor and my Dutch Brothers coffee. I'm like, poor man, speedball.
I used to call it the hillbilly speedball, the Red Bull and a Vicodin, because you know one like you know
Vicodin
really
freak me out,
up, but the other one kind of takes the edge off.
I don't know, like pills kind of scare me. I don't mean, like, some people can do
well,
that.
Well, like, so if it's liquid, it's fine. But if it's, like, in compacted...
Oh, I love me some Dimetapp, let me tell you this much.
NyQuil, I can do that for days.
Oh, yeah. I can't do NyQuil. It gives me crazy... What is it called? Like, the green curtain?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard that?
No.
NyQuil is... Yeah, it's called the green curtain because it gives you those crazy dreams. And so, like, if you know, if you sleep with NyQuil, then you have, like, alien dreams. And then you have, like, three heads. And I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, I'm happy. I've always been a person that just has I'm really keyed up a lot, and I seem very low energy, and yet at the same time I'm just really anxious, like, all
crazy
the time.
Crazy can sense crazy. I know that you might seem low key. I know you're nuts.
Yeah, you know nuts. And I've always had a lot of trouble sleeping, and so I welcome anything that will help me sleep. And so I've tried everything over the years, like Benadryl, yay! Except then I'm like got that Benadryl hangover the next day, like NyQuil, woohoo! But yeah, I'm taking these pills now that they gave me that apparently are just for psychotics and crazy people, because I told my doctor I still need something to sleep. The stuff you were giving me before really wasn't working, but I don't want like sleeping pills because the idea of taking
like the Ambien or whatever that stuff is. Isn't that stuff that makes you like crazy sleepwalk?
Yes, I know a woman who takes Ambien, and about once every couple of months she'll just do stuff she has no memory of doing. She'll just get up and she'll get online and sleep shop on Amazon.
That is terrifying. Have you ever sleepwalked?
No.
Oh.
Not since I was a kid. I did sleepwalk when I was a child.
Dude, I sleepwalked when I was in college, and I have a fear of it. I have a fear of sleepwalking, so much so where I just moved into a new apartment building, and I am so afraid because my entrance to my apartment door is like right next to my bathroom door, and I'm so afraid I'm gonna wander into the hallway in my pajamas trying to find the bathroom at some point. So I actually I'm crazy. I'm just gonna lay that up. I'm crazy. And I have this mannequin that I have in my apartment, and I'll actually put it in front of the door to the entrance to my apartment, so I don't get confused if I wake up in the middle of the night to use the restroom.
That's fine.
So that way I know, like, it's just like, oh, there's something there, there's not a door. Mm-hmm.
I once spent the night with a gentleman that I didn't know very well, and I was traveling, and I spent the night with him at his apartment in Philadelphia, where I had never been before. And I was sleeping on the couch, and I went to use the bathroom. And then I was sleeping in the bedroom. And he was on the couch, bedroom, and then I was on my way back to the bedroom from the bathroom.
I bet you
But
were.
I went the wrong way, and instead of going into the bedroom, I went into the stairs that went down to the front door, and I just, like, was like, la, 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 la. It was like something out of a cartoon, just walking straight forward and then just stepped out into nothing and went, boom, 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 boom. All the way down to the bottom of the stairs, and had that, like, that clarity thing that you have, that they say when your adrenaline starts, like, where my brain just went, this is how you die. This is a humiliating way to die, where it, like, you know, wearing hardly any clothes and breaking your neck, tumbling down a guy's stairs in Philadelphia. And then I landed and I realized nothing was broken and I was okay. And he was standing up at the top of the stairs going, are you all right? And I'm like, then I was just embarrassed. I was like, yeah.
Don, I kid you not, this past week I was over at Greg's house, and I was wearing socks, and he has carpeted stairs. I kind of want to show it to you, but there are windows. I have the biggest bruise I have ever had in my life, because I did the comedic, like, arms and legs up in the air, fall flat on my... I'm going to show you right now.
Okay.
Look at this thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
It is huge.
I would take a picture of that and then...
I know.
I've
tried to take pictures of it, but,
We could do that later. You know, it's...
it is this enormous bruise. I slipped on my socks, flew up in the air, and fell, like, directly on the stair. And also, it got the back of my arm, too. So I have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And it just... It hit it perfectly. So there's, like, this pink stripe... about, like, 6 inches long, surrounded by, like, dark blue and purple that are about 2 inches. It is painful as hell.
Yeah, that's another reason why even there's I go downstairs very, very carefully. Part of it is, you know, now I can use the bad knee excuse. Like, oh, I'm all crippled up. I have to go down the stairs carefully. But even before that, I was always just, like, a real pussy about going downstairs because I have fallen down so many flights of stairs in my life.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to die from falling off of something or down something or over something because it just happens all of the time. So I don't think Rick is going to be Skyping the number.
I can't figure out the Skype thing. I downloaded it.
Or he's just decided to ignore me entirely at the moment.
That could be it.
I'm just going to pretend she doesn't exist because then I don't have to kill her. I can't kill her. I'm in New York. So she's ruining my show. Well, at least one listener thought so. So, tell me a story, Sarah.
I did water aerobics this morning, and I almost got into a fight with an old lady.
Is it mostly old ladies doing
that? It is all old ladies. It was all old ladies. There were some younger, older ladies who were still very fit, who were still doing it, which, like, give me hope. I'm like, oh, look at how fit they are. That's because they do water aerobics. But it was a lot of fun. We almost, my friend Angela and I almost got into fisticuffs with an old lady who didn't like us, like, being within 10 feet of her water space. They're very finicky, these old lady water aerobic people.
I thought about doing the water aerobics because I like water aerobics.
It is so much fun. It's such a workout. Like, my arms actually hurt today from doing all the underwater weights and everything.
Also, I figured if I was doing something where there were a lot of, like, old people and fat people and crippled people, then no one would judge me.
Dawn, nobody judges you anyway.
Everyone judges.
Even though you wouldn't let me walk you down the stairs like the lady you are.
No, you just wanted to help me because you, because out of pity. It was a pity help. Admit
why
it.
Do you keep almost making me swear? I'm gonna be like, oh, screw that.
So tell me more about the water aerobics.
It was kind of amazing.
And about the woman you almost got the fight.
Yeah, so there is, so this place that I go to has water aerobics. The lady who runs it is, like, very excitable, and she's, like, really into it, but it's, like, they don't section off a big enough portion of the pool, so, like, everyone's kind of crowded in like sardines, and we're all, like, smushed into the space. And this woman is, yeah, completely just angry at my friend Angela and I, who I only get to see once a week because she's all, like, knocked up and you know, she's the pregnant.
Yeah.
And so we just, like, sit there and, like,
as
have our gossip and shoot the crap. And this woman just kept giving us dirty looks the entire time. I'm like, Jesus, lady. Don't make me hurt you.
Well, why would?
Because we were talking. Like, supposedly it was irritating her, and then we're all, like, doing the exercises that we're supposed to. So, I don't know, did the water aerobics. That's right. Watched the Blazer game last night. Did you watch it?
No.
It was exciting.
I don't follow the actual, the football or basketball.
Honestly.
What sport is this?
Not a sporty girl, but I love things that are fast-paced and interesting. Like, honestly, watching it last night was very fast-paced and exciting. No, I can't talk to you right now.
I thought, something's vibrating. Something's making noise.
Are we going back to our dildo talk from earlier, Dawn?
God. I'd like to read an email, by the way, I got yesterday. Someone just said, you're doing fine, Dawn. Hang in there. It's refreshing to see a bit of vulnerability. And then he tried to help me help me fix my microphone, but that didn't help.
Oh,
because as I said, it's a thing. Greg Nibbler's
here. Oh, Nibman.
The Nibs.
Nibman. All right, can we pick a mic for him?
We can.
Why is there a paring knife in here?
That was Greg Nibbler last night opening boxes.
I was cutting things.
He came in yesterday. While I was sitting here, it was probably about half an hour, 45 minutes after I'd been crying, while I was still sitting here trying to get a file to upload, because I was trying to upload the show. So
there's malt liquor in the fridge in the kitchen.
So people could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And the file was apparently corrupted. And every time it would, like, upload, it would FTP, like, all the way to the very end and then go, oh, no, sorry, there's an error problem. No. And I was like, So Greg came in with his friend Gavin, I believe his name
is. Gavin, he of courage.
And they both just stood there and looked at me like, who's the crazy homeless lady that's sitting there looking all frazzled and distressed by the microphone?
So, I knew you weren't homeless.
And that was me. But yeah, Greg knew I wasn't homeless.
Probably is his mic on? Is that his? Let's see.
Which one are we there?
I'm Anita.
Anita. Okay.
Hello.
Is it muted?
Not anymore.
Ah, there we go. Hello.
Well, hello to you, Greg Nibbler.
How have things been going?
Well, actually, we've just been doing our own version of the vagina monologues, if you'd like to join in.
That is exactly what
Don's
I would love to do.
Don's name is Kelsey. And
that's kind of awkward.
That's weird.
I know.
That's really awkward, actually.
I don't know how the vagina monologues go, because I've never been to one.
I think it's people talking... Is it about people talking
through
as
their vaginas?
As if they were vaginas?
I unfortunately have seen the vagina monologues. No, it was not my choice to go to it, but I was drug along to it at one point. And it's essentially, yeah, women telling stories about their vaginas and how they make them... powerful, or I don't know.
Who makes a body part powerful?
I don't know.
It was like pinky. I'm gonna make it.
It was extremely awkward and not something I wanted to do.
Oh, hey, we have a call from Rick Emerson.
Oh, yay!
All right, do I just answer it?
Sure.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Rick,
I think you need to find the input plug to plug it into your computer so everyone can hear him.
Whoops. All right.
So it's that one right there. That big one right there.
Oh. Okay.
There we go.
I don't hear. Let's unplug that.
And then we've got the mic right here.
And then we should be able to actually hear Mr. Rick Emerson talking to
Rick,
us.
Rick, can you hear me?
Hello?
You know what I need to do? I probably need to set the preferences to the blue snowflake. Hello?
Now can you hear us? Oh, come on. We came so close. I actually heard his voice.
Rick Emerson?
Is this how things have been going all day?
This is how things have been going
Rick?
All week.
Okay.
Oh, I can hear.
I can hear.
Is he turned up?
Rick.
He's muted.
Rick,
I think.
Rick, keep talking. Yeah, he's muted.
The far one on the right.
The far one on the right.
There we go.
Nobody. Oh, and just sort of amusing myself by speaking
out. Hi, Rick.
Hello. Hi.
Oh my God, you're actually on the air.
He's so loud.
Well, we'll turn that down.
It sounds like things are running flawlessly as always.
Oh, my God. Smooth as butter.
So how are y'all doing? Sorry for being a few minutes late. I was stuck on a subway between a guy with Tourette's and a woman who kept twitching spasmodically.
Welcome to New York.
It was actually the second guy with Tourette's. I put up a Facebook posting about this earlier. I was waiting for a subway this morning, and on the opposite side of the tracks, there was a guy who literally had, like, not figurative Tourette's, but I think full-on, like, actual twitching, jerking, screaming, snorting Tourette's, walking back and forth, and then occasionally, it was awesome, stop, and he would just kind of go and just spit on everyone.
Yeah, what was his word? Because I know, like, Tourette's people, like, latch onto a word. Did he have a word?
Yeah, he said zoo, which is really appropriate. It was like some weird meta-social commentary in the entire city. He would just go like, zoo, and just stride back and forth, and then stop occasionally and go, and flex, like a spray of saliva would just fill the air like a horrible Tourette's cloud. It was awesome. So how are you all doing?
Dude, I want to know how that the play that you went to last night went. Was it good?
Book Mormon, the musical, which was awesome.
Awesome.
Which was fantastic. It was really, really good. It was just like two shows in one, because, or really three shows in one, because on the one hand, you know, because I'm kind of fascinated with Mormon culture, and I lived in Salt Lake for a while, and Lara's from Provo, of course. And so it was interesting just seeing, like, their take on it, because like the Scientology episode and the Mormon episode of South Park, it was all pretty accurate in terms of their depiction of the church and its beliefs. So that was one level. Then the second level was the show itself, which is hilarious and funny, and it's Trey Parker, Matt Stone, and this guy Robert Lopez, who wrote Avenue Q, which I have not seen, but which I know Don is a big fan of. And
yes.
So the music, great. Yeah, the music was wonderful. The songs were really catchy and really, really profane and sweet and all of that stuff. And then the third level was watching the crowd, because it's still in previews right now. It hasn't actually opened yet. And so it doesn't open, I think, until the 25th. But it was in previews, which means that most of the people going to see it aren't like South Park fans. Most of the people going to see it are their theater fans, their Broadway fans. And
theater.
So the average was like... Yeah, the average age was like, I don't know, like 45 or 50. I mean, it was people who would typically be going to see Billy Elliot or Rent or something. And just like seeing them, at one point, I swear to God, there is a sequence, and I'm not making this up. This is not a spoiler, but there is a sequence where, let's see if I can get this right. There is a sequence where Hitler is providing oral pleasure to Jeffrey Dahmer, and Jeffrey Dahmer is in turn miming a sex act on the dead body of the protagonist's father.
That's
amazing. And it's all taking place in hell, and then they're singing and dancing, and there's like a whole production of Ghost with it too. And it was like looking around and seeing the faces of the audience was like, that was totally a show in and of itself.
I smell Tony.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, really good. So what's up in Portland? So I missed everything. So the freaking radio station's gone, and Nate Dogg's dead. It's like
I just learned that right now. I had no idea that Nate Dogg was dead.
Oh yeah.
Well, of course. It's like that's the thing is, whenever we would take a day off, we would kill a celebrity, and so I thought we just killed a radio station this time. But apparently, late last night, we got out of Nate Dogg.
Well, you know they come in threes, so let's see what you do tomorrow.
God, it really was so. Anything else? Hey, you guys have. I know I'm becoming that guy. You guys are getting some weather there, aren't you?
Yes, yes, really? We've had some weather. Quite a bit of weather.
And we haven't sworn at all. We have not said one bad word.
Excellent. Well done. Yes. Is it the Don, Greg, and Sarah, all three of you there?
Yeah, I just came in the room. They're both halfway through a giant bottle of beer when I just showed up.
Awesome.
And we deserve it after everything that happened this morning when we were trying to do Legion of News and everything just went kablooey.
I know, and everyone starts blaming me. They're like, Sarah, why did you mess it up? Why did you spill something? And I'm like, seriously? I hate you all. But seriously, I love you.
For what it's worth, Sarah, for what it's worth, I was putting no blame on you whatsoever.
Thank you.
It's me. It's all on me.
No, and also, yeah, Rick, for what it's worth, like, Dawn was sweating profusely and pushing every button she could to try and make this magic happen, which I think it was just
Sarah,
meant to be delayed a little bit.
Sarah, just so you know, I'm putting no blame on you whatsoever.
Hooray! Yay! Come back soon.
So what else is? I feel like I've been away forever. I've just been like weeks. So is anything else of note happening in Portland? Is there any news items of interest?
Other than KUFO,
KUFO thing was pretty big. And Jeff is also petitioning for her own radio station, which is amazing.
Yeah, not,
you should be following that.
Not his own show, his own station.
Wait, who is petitioning?
Jeff.
Our friend Jeff, who posts up things on Twitter quite often.
You know, the person I'm obsessed with.
Quotation marks Jeff.
Jesus Christ, Rick. TD.
I don't think he knows what you're talking about.
I know he knows what I'm talking about because he... Rick, are you there?
Yeah, see, I think he was...
Ah, there we go.
Get off there.
Okay. Well, that was Rick Emerson, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Rick Emerson. Calling into the Rick Emerson show.
Wait, Rick Emerson is calling the Rick Emerson show?
Oh, now he's calling back.
I was wondering why you weren't answering what we were talking about.
That was totally me. I had an alarm set, actually, to call in today. I set an alarm on my phone. And I went, and so the alarm started ringing, and I went to press the alarm off button, which is right next to the big button that says end call. So that was...
Are you starting your car as well?
Yeah, I was afraid Zoo Guy got you.
So who did you say is petitioning for their
Jeff.
Own radio station? I missed
Jeff.
That.
Jeff.
Jeff who?
Our friend, in quotation marks,
the
Jeff.
The one.
Jeff, I see.
I think he wants it to be named, I think that he's ready for his own 24-hour-a-day station.
Jeff 101.
It's like J-E-F-F.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's really funny, maybe not so funny, but, you know, Jeff hasn't like ever contacted me. I don't ever hear from Jeff. Jeff just like leaves me out of the equation altogether until I posted the other day that I was going to be, and I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just said really casually, somebody asked me, I think on Facebook, why I was coming to New York. And I said, I have some business to do. And I said, I'm going to be talking to, my agent or this company that's publishing this book that I co-wrote. And immediately, as soon as I posted that online, it was strange. It was like Jeff suddenly discovered my, my email address, my Twitter account, my Facebook. And I got messages like every 5 or 6 minutes just asking me how I was. So.
And then did Jeff retweet you? And be like, oh, hopefully I can get a book deal.
Another non-writer gets to write a book. Where's the job?
I don't understand. I'm so talented. Why don't people just give me things?
Oh, hey, speaking of which,
Screaming.
That, what?
Is there someone screaming?
Well, it's New York. Of course someone's screaming.
Yes, it's New York. There's always a screaming or a shooting or something happening. So, it's funny actually. Speaking of New York and perceptions of cities, so I was at lunch today where I just ate. I gotta tell you, like, beware the danger of like the expense account and like the whatever when like somebody else is picking up the tab, because then you're just inclined to eat way too much, as indeed I did. So I swear to God, and there's a police car and an ambulance coming. So hold
sure,
on a second,
sure,
make
sure
it make it kind of loud. One second.
It's local color, really. It's
I had just the most enormous plate of sausages for lunch. It was just unreal.
I bet you did.
Well, you know, when you're out of town, you can indulge in things you wouldn't do when you were in town.
It was just like, you know, and it's that whole thing of like, well, I should. The guy's like, oh, hey, we're not paying. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just keep eating. So it's like I need like a defibrillator or something. I've just had this like a massive infusion of grease and meat. But the interesting thing is when I was at lunch, the guy actually asked me. We're just sitting there and waiting for the tab to come or something, and he just says out of the blue, he goes, "Hey, so that Portlandia show," and then he just like let it trail off, and I said. Yes, Portlandia.
Rick, do you mean that you said, oh, no, you mean Sportlandia?
Sportlandia. sorry, I failed you. I let you down. But he said the weirdest thing. He just said, and I don't know if this is like if I think he was just saying to be polite or if it was whatever, but he said, so he goes, oh, Portlandia. And I said, yeah. And he goes, so everybody's talking about that. And then he just like let that sit there. And I said, really? And he goes, yes, they are. And then he just like went on. It was so weird. It was like it was enigmatic. Like I was supposed to glean something from it. But apparently, word of Portlandia has reached the island of Manhattan. So maybe it's not just people in Portland who are talking about it. Maybe it's actually being watched by actual people elsewhere.
Well, and you yourself are from Portland, so therefore you are somehow partly responsible for it. And
yes,
yeah,
yes, yeah,
yes,
well,
yes.
In any event,
yeah. Did you find me any fun sunglasses yet?
No, I haven't. I actually have been looking for. Is that what you wanted? Because I'm not sure. When I last left, I had asked you and Greg, and you guys were still pondering what it is you might want. So I didn't know if you wanted, like, if you'd settled on something specific.
No. Greg and I were both talking about, like, get us random pairs of sunglasses. And
okay,
then if I like Greg's better than mine, then you have to pretend like they were for me initially.
Do you want them to be do you want them to be wearable, or do you want them to be like deliberately sort of tacky and glorious?
Deliberately tacky and glorious, like if they have like Statues of Liberty on them or something, I'm totally
that,
down with that.
Yes, absolutely.
And Greg is too.
Now I'm on board.
All right, so well, I'm I should take a picture of this, but I'm at the corner of where am I at? I can't see the street signs, but I'm sort of like I'm on the edge of East Harlem right now, and so there's just this row of stores, like as far as the eye can see, all of which have like these great blinking, tacky, gaudy neon signs in the window that are sort of screaming visual at you about how they have the lowest prices on like insert item here. So when I'm done, I'm gonna stop by the Miami Lotto and Grocery Store, which also features a wide variety of clothing, apparently. And where you can pay for things with any number of payment options. Let's see. Yes. In fact, they will buy your jewelry. So I'm going to see if they have something for you guys. If they have a fashion item or two for you.
Ooh, that's that would awesome. Be awesome.
And before you get off the phone, I know that the listeners probably want to hear an update on your accommodations, because I know I did get a text message from you at some point that said that Laura had apparently booked you into a Tom Waits song.
Yes, so I put a picture of this on Facebook. I don't know if I put anything else up there. I think I might have just put the one photo. But if you look on Facebook for this, it's also I'll resend it. But it's minuscule. I mean, it's I took this photograph with my back to the opposite corner, and I mean, it is literally. I'm trying to think. It is. I'll put it this way: the room in which the alleged hotel room in which I'm staying is. Less than it is no bigger than half of the size of our studio. If you were to cut our studio in half,
wow,
it is no bigger. And I think, no lie, I think I'll actually measure it. I'll find something of a known distance. I'll find like a piece of a notebook paper or something and measure it. I think it is probably 1/3 the size of our studio. No exaggeration. I mean, it's like it is minuscule. Cheryl asked me if I'd been stabbed or, you know, if I'd been shot or anything. And the good news is I think most of the residents of the hotel actually favor heroin. And so they're just kind of – they're laying low. there's just a lot of slack going on in the building. But it is the very last building in the neighborhood, I think, that survives from an earlier era. Because as I was walking to the hotel, I was thinking, like, oh, this is actually really, it's got all these sort of brownstone walk-ups and these really, really nice kind of bed and breakfast things. I was like, oh, maybe Laura didn't screw me and stick me into a flea trap, a flop house. And so there's all of these really nice bed and breakfasts, and then there is this one remaining building that obviously is from a much earlier generation of this street, and that's the building where I am. You know, it basically is, and I don't know if these are still in downtown Portland. Don and I were talking about this the other day. It is essentially one of those, like, hotels for men that you'll see in, like, the downtown metropolitan areas of certain cities.
For the gentleman traveler.
Exactly. And it's like you walk by and there always seems to be a bunch of old guys just sitting in the lobby doing nothing, just like sitting on the couch staring off into space. That is totally what this place is, with like the one collected, like the shared bathroom for every floor. And I mean, like, I try real hard not to let my exposed or open skin touch anything ever, like under any circumstances. It's a very interesting slice of life. I'll give you that. I'll get some photos of it on the. Here's how bad it is. It was actually so bad.
Yes.
Yes.
How bad was it?
I think he dropped out again. It was
that
so
was
bad.
Guarantees right there.
I died.
Oh lordy. How bad was it?
I actually did the same thing again because I turns out I only hit the snooze alarm on the snooze button on the alarm, so that's going to happen about every 7 minutes. But it was actually so bad that I was afraid to take any substantial number of photos of it on the way up in the elevator, down the hallway, or into the room itself, because something about it just screamed like the residents of this hotel do not wish to have their photograph taken and don't want there to be any record of where they are at any moment. So I'll do that on the way out.
Okay. Well, that's great. Anything else? Anything you want to share with the listeners before you get back to your busy trip?
Well, they ought to check out the Book of Mormon the musical when it opens. It was
what?
Oh, that sounds great.
That's awesome. There's apparently a reunion of sorts happening here.
A reunion or a raping?
Well, you know, one is sort of indistinct. Hold on a second. Now a young child is being upbraided by his mother for not for engaging in. Oh yes. Hello.
Oh,
hi.
God,
yes.
What?
There's a reunion happening of sorts where apparently one man is seeing a woman, and apparently they, as youths, lived with some proximity to one another, and it has been some time since they engaged in any sort of social interaction. And they both are expressing disbelief at how long it has been since they've seen one another. That's my information. I am so lame and so totally white and completely without culture in any way.
All right. And we all ran out of things to say. Yes.
Oh, no. Okay. I really have to use the bathroom.
This is what your show has devolved to.
All right.
To,
behind
the
scenes, I have to say, while you were talking, Sarah actually got up and ran into the kitchen and put her chicken breast into the microwave. But she
okay,
made it.
Okay, awesome.
No, it was amazing. I was intrigued every second. I'm just jealous that you're in New York and I'm not, honestly.
I was going to ask if there's anything you guys want. Dawn, is there anything you wish to have? Sunglasses, anything?
Wow, I can't think of anything. Just the tackiest gigaw that you can that you come across. If it just seems really just sort of ludicrous, please feel free to gift me with it.
All right. Well, that really is. I mean, and Sarah's been here. You know, that's finding a tacky item in New York that really stands out is a tall order.
It's quite difficult. It's, yes.
Well, you can always go with the snow globe. That's always a surefire winner.
There's a number of enterprising young men who have laid out what appear to be card tables covered with a tablecloth, and they're selling a variety of electronic and decorative jewelry items at apparently what seemed to be a substantial discount over what one might expect to pay for these items new. So maybe they'll ply me with their wares as I get closer. So I mean, I'll buy you something shiny.
Oh, thank you. I love shiny things. So I am a magpie.
I'm going to. It is now 5:15 in New York, which means that rush hour is underway. So I'm going to try to find my way back to the subway here. But I'll stick some more photos up of the hotel room online so everybody can I don't know, just so like later on when they do an artist rendering of Rick's final hours, you know, when they, you know, when they're interviewing neighbors who say like, I did not hear nothing, man. And, you know, and then they're just showing a camera, like a shot of the pool of dried blood on the carpet. You'll be able to know exactly what my last images were before I shuffled off my mortal coil.
Well, hopefully you won't actually die because you need to come back and save your show from me. So,
don't you think that ship has already sailed?
I was mentioning earlier, probably the best thing I've heard from anyone was somebody on Facebook going, you'll get it by the end of the week. And I'm like, well, that's kind of too late, really, isn't it? But thanks.
That's coupled with the email I got. I don't even know what this is in reference to, but I got an email yesterday that just said in all caps, it said, oh God, you can't leave town anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was referencing.
Well, we know what that was referencing.
No, and I'm watching, and she's doing a great, great job. It's just, you know, some things are out of your control a little bit.
It's fine. Look, let's be honest. It's not like I'm technically proficient or flawless in any way. I mean, look, I've hung up on you guys twice during the course of a 7-minute phone call. So really, who am I to judge? All right. Thank you guys so much for all of you. You know, Don, Sarah, Greg, all three of you guys are helping out today. And I will be back late Friday, so I may give you guys a call at some point over the next year or two. But then,
yay.
And I'll tell you more about Book of Mormon when I return.
Okay.
Awesome.
See you when I get back.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, Daddy's gone. We can go back to drinking now.
Did you really just say Daddy?
Well, you know.
See, that's as creepy as when Sarah refers to herself as Mama.
I'm like, Mama needs a drink.
Yeah, you should never refer to yourself as Mama. It just really creeps me out.
I need to make a beer baby.
How many drinks have you guys had in here? I'm curious. Because I just walked in the door.
We started,
I know you've had a few.
We started with a really...
A couple.
No, just
I
hardly.
No, one of those is Dawn's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you guys each had a steel reserve. And
I only drank about half of that. And Sarah was disappointed in me for only drinking about half of that.
See, I actually...
And I realized I hadn't eaten, which is...
See, and I actually feel weird being the one that's coming in here sober. Usually, if it's on our show, I'm partaking in the drinking just as much.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of odd, man. It's kind of fascinating, actually, watching everything go on.
Well, before I close this out and go to a little musical interlude... before we go to a best of the Rick Emerson recording for the folks.
What do you mean this isn't a best of?
Because we hardly got to actually talk to Greg. He just popped in at the middle.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Greg Nibbler.
Oh, my name is Greg. Full name's Gregory.
But
I don't know. No, I've been, all morning I'm a little bit flustered myself because all morning I've been practicing with my band for this weekend. So we haven't practiced together in 2.5 years. So today was the first time that we did it for the Fun Employment Radio Presents Courage concert on Saturday. It was awesome. It was so much fun. I mean,
this wasn't one of those things like in a sitcom where the middle-aged guys get together and like one guy has a baby, like, you know, in the thing over in the corner, and the other guy's kind of got a gut now, and so he can't hold the bass properly. And
well, guts maybe, but thankfully, you know,
free baby.
Stone's babies are in New York.
Stone has babies.
Virginia. Yeah, he has two kids.
Stone has two
three
kids.
Three kids. Yeah,
three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to, like, change that to six? Wow.
Yeah, no, he's got three kids.
I mean, it's not for us to know. That's not our business.
Courage is a great name for a band, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. Well, especially one as essentially retarded as ours is.
Yeah, because it has that sort of sense of irony,
mm-hmm.
really. Because I had no idea that that was actually your band, and I kept seeing the posters, you guys talking about the big Courage concert, and I kept thinking, is this some, like, band from the 80s that retired and now they're coming back? Are they all going to be kind of sad and have mullets? But now I find out, no, it was actually your band.
Yes to all of those things, except for the 80s. We just pretend to be from the 80s. But, yeah, so it's the first time we played in, like I said, 2.5 years, I think, was the last time that we did one. And it is a lot of fun. So for those of you that don't know what it is, it's kind of like a Spinal Tap-ish type of thing. Only
and Greg's the lead man.
And you do refer to yourself apparently as butt rock icons.
Neo butt rock all-stars.
Mm.
Yes. It's something to behold.
I have to actually do a commercial kind of a thing, a sponsor deal.
Does that mean I can use the restroom?
Sure you can,
okay.
Before we go. So excuse me a moment while I talk about the... Do I have this actually wrong?
Doesn't sound like... Yeah, is it plugged into your computer?
Oh, it's not plugged into my computer. There we go. Hold on.
Turn
this
down
to the top. There we go. All of the previous drunken debauchery and phone calls from New York and talk about vaginas has been brought to you by the fine folks at Squires Electric. You can reach them at 503-252-1609 or go to squireselectric.com. They are a full-service electrical contract. All your residential and commercial needs will be met, whether it's just one outlet that is giving you hell or an entire building that needs to be wired and set up. Ethernet, regular wires, just all of those strange little things that are in the walls that you don't know what they are and you're afraid if you touch them, they will kill you. Call Squires Electric for that. You call, you'll talk to Donna. Donna is awesome, if a little bit weird and scary sometimes.
And awesome.
But she is awesome. I want to have Donna on the show sometime.
Oh,
to just
definitely.
Talk. Find out Donna's story. Because Donna is terrific.
Is awesome.
Some of the things that come that Donna says, you would never expect to come out of her mouth. But yeah, she is awesome.
And they are a fine group of burly men with big trucks who will come to your house and will fix anything you need electrical-wise. So call Squires Electric, 503-253. I'm sorry, that's a fax. Don't call that. 503-252-1609 or go to squireselectric.com and tell them the Rick Emerson Show sent you, because then they'll realize that their money has been well spent on more than just vagina talk and beer drinking. Thank you. Okay. I love this song. Okay. So anyway, that has been your precursor to the Best of Rick Emerson. We're going to go forward with some Best of Rick Emerson stuff, which I'm sure Rick probably emailed me and told me what it was, and I could tease it. But I was so stressed out about Legion of News not working and our technical problems. And then I got into the whole beer drinking thing with Sarah, and I completely forgot about it. So just trust me, it'll be
amazing
and exciting and amazing, and you'll enjoy it. So until tomorrow, when hopefully things will go smooth as silk.
Stop saying that, because it never happens.
No, it really won't. Will
just say like things are going to go horribly.
Yeah.
And then they'll be smooth.
But I want to thank... oh, wait, isn't there some kind of... Am I supposed to play, like, music at the end? I can't remember what the music is I'm supposed to play at the end. That's the beginning music, but screw it.
Well, it's the beginning of the best of, so you're leading up to it.
That's right. I want to thank Sarah Zillin for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Don Taylor.
Over there eating her chicken breast. And Greg Nibbler.
223 at Fred Maya.
This is awesome.
And Greg Miller. Greg Miller?
Greg Miller, apparently.
The famous Greg Miller, sitting in for Greg Nibbler. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live here from the Emerson News Network every single day above the milkpacking district of beautiful Southeast Portland. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff. That's what we called it after a little bit of Imperial Stout. We called it chief of staff. Would be Cheryl Kanakoa. And I'm going to go away now. So shortly, a best of the Rick Emerson Show. Enjoy that. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Best of the Rick Emerson Show. This is the Emerson News Network.
Well, fewer hassles for airport travelers at PDX. Remember all those parking spaces were off limits due to the terrorists? Well, we don't want the inconvenience anymore, and we'll take the risk. So they have been reopened so you can park where you didn't used to be able to park.
Give me convenience or give me death.
Yep, we'll take convenience anytime. So, Grandma... We'll have two or three steps less to take.
Okay, while we're clearing up parking spaces, can we clear up those damn parking things downtown with the red hoods over them that are never in use by anyone?
Yeah, what is that anyway?
They're never being used by anyone. No. These spaces, they're all reserved for cops and other court personnel, which would be fine with me if they were ever being actually utilized for that purpose, but they're not. They're just sitting there taking up space, could be used by honest, decent, hardworking people trying to park somewhere to get to the... the mall or whatever. And you know the ones I'm talking about. And they got the, it's like, why do they even have the parking meter there? You know what I mean? Why don't they just remove the meter and just red out that zone rather than taunting you by putting a meter there and then covering it up?
And even the handicap can't park there.
A bunch of weasels.
It's horrible. Anyway, hundreds of hatchery-bred coho salmon are taking the wrong turn this season, entering the Rogue River, where workers mistakenly count them as the threatened wild rogue coho. The strange fish are reared in Northern California. When they reach the Gold Ray Dam of the Rogue River, however, they're counted as wild rogue coho. Apparently, this is the first time...
I don't understand anything in this story.
Well, the fish are turning the wrong way and ending up in the wrong river.
It's because they got the brain the size of a pea.
Well, I mean, some people are suggesting what to do. Maybe somebody from, you know, Fish and Game can stand there with a bullhorn and say, you're going the wrong way.
I think some answer involving dynamite is called for. But let me talk to you about the most boring, tedious job on planet Earth.
Counting coho.
Have you ever, well, have you, seriously, have you ever been there? You ever gone up to, is it John Day? What's that dam? Where you go watch
Bonneville
the salmon
Day.
Counters. Is it Bonneville?
Bonneville.
Yeah, where you go and there's the fish ladder, which we used to go. This is how exciting my childhood was. That was the highlight of our summer every year, was going to see the fish go up the ladder at the Bonneville Dam. That was like the peak of our... I don't know where you all went on summer vacations with your family. If you all went to Disneyland or, you know, if you're Christina's family, you went to France or what. I don't know where
you
they
went. To Hawaii a lot.
I'm just
we were a little
so glad
bigger
you're
fans of Mexico than Hawaii.
Let's see, my mom grew up in Hawaii.
A lot better climate.
I swear to God, I'm coming in with a gun one of these days, and I'm going to hose a lot of you. And I'm not going to feel one twinge of guilt about it. I'm not going to feel bad about it at all. But the highlight of our summer vacation every year was going to see the fish climb up a goddamn ladder at the Bonneville Dam. And it's like the first 20 times you've been. What else? What are you expecting to see that's new there after the second or third time? There's nothing.
It must be hard to climb up a ladder when you're so slippery.
Well, there's that. Yeah, sure. It's not really a ladder so much as it is sort of a, it's like some steps. You all have been there, right? You've seen the fish.
I have not.
Line.
I'd love to go count fish.
It actually is kind of interesting if you go, I went for the first time in about 10 years last year because Laura had never seen it. And she was, you know, fish climbing a ladder. Go on. You know, and so we had to go. Then they kind of hop up these steps. It's kind of cute, actually. But then you go down below the level of the dam and there's these big ass windows you look through and you see these fish and they're huge. I mean, they're just massive. That these salmon come by, they're like 3 feet long, and there's some guy with a clipboard, sits there all day, and that's his job. Chinook, sockeye, coho. And that's all he does all day long, like 8 hours in a row.
So you're probably not allowed
counts fish.
You're probably not allowed to talk to him because he loses count.
No, he's like ensconced in this little glass room. You can't even get to him. He's like in a small little glass cage by himself where you can't interfere with his counting.
He must go home and like beat his kids.
Exactly. Goes home and drop kicks his terrier into the next yard.
What's for dinner tonight? Fish? No! Oh, maybe he's Catholic and doesn't have them on Friday.
No. If you have fish, you have fish on Friday.
Oh, that's
Catholic.
Right. Darn it. Good Catholic I am. Okay, so let's catch up on what happened over the weekend. A woman the last time we checked is in serious condition after falling at least 40 feet from an outdoor smoking terrace at the Rose Garden during a Trailblazers game. Yeah,
that's what you get for smoking.
Yep. She was unconscious and complaining of leg pain, which isn't bad for falling, you know, 40 feet.
Oh, yeah, running 40 feet, my leg hurts. Yeah, got off light.
Anyway, it would have been worse if she hadn't hit the fence on the way down.
It's going to be worse when she's in a cancer ward someday. That's what's going to be worse.
All that for a cigarette.
I can't feel my leg. They had to cut off my legs due to lack of circulation. That's going to be your leg pain in like 35 years, sister.
And a fire at the YMCA in downtown Salem over the weekend forced more than 100 shivering swimmers outside on a Saturday night. These are a bunch of people with bellies hanging down to their feet, clad only in a soaking wet towel. They wouldn't let them in for 2 hours. So it happened around 4:30 when somebody put a towel up on top of the sauna heater. People should know that starts fires. And it did. Cost $5,000 worth in damage. It's going to be closed for repairs.
Okay, what is the thing in the sauna where you're not supposed to use chlorinated water? Is that what it is? You're not supposed to use water with chlorine in the sauna? You know what I'm talking about?
That's probably a good idea not to.
Oh, is that because it kills you or something?
Well, because,
you know, there's the hot rocks.
The hot rocks, the element there.
But there's always certain water you're supposed to use. Yeah, but there's certain water they leave there you're supposed to use, and there's other water you're not supposed to touch. And I've never understood what that's
about.
Well,
if you're using water that's got chlorine in it, you get all the chlorine vapors and everything in the air, you'd be breathing all that in.
See, but I don't understand why you can... See, this has never made any sense to me. I'm not disputing that that's the case. I've never understood why you can drink chlorine, but you can't breathe it. Do you know what I mean? Like, your ass can drink chlorine all day long. Doesn't you do chlorine in the water right now? It comes out of the tap. Chlorine is... drink swimming pool water. It doesn't do anything to you, really. But you can't breathe it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
participate.
Well, I don't really think you're probably supposed to drink this, the water out of the swimming pool. The amount of chlorine that's in the water that comes out of your tap is almost non-existent to the amount of chlorine that's in the pool.
It's all very confusing.
It is. The fourth season of HBO's The Sopranos ended with Kamala Soprano tossing her mob boss husband out of the house after she was tipped to his philandering by one of his scorned girlfriends.
Oh, man, that was the good stuff last night. Who saw The Sopranos last night?
Don't say a word. I'm not going to see it until today.
Well, we can't just eschew the story because your lame ass didn't get to the... Where were you?
I was busy. I was watching football, so...
Well, screw you. You get the spoilers.
Don't spoil too much.
If you were off on a date or something, I might be willing to cut you some slack. Maybe you're watching football instead, because Lord knows there'll never be another opportunity to see football games. That's never going to come around again.
Well, anyway, season four of the series got some mixed reviews from the fans.
I was expecting people to get whacked. Nobody got whacked. It left me waiting for more. I'll definitely watch the next season.
So you're still a devoted fan?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I like the show a lot. It's a good show.
I mean, here's the thing is that there's no big spoilers to reveal. I mean, maybe that's the spoiler. The spoiler is that there are no real spoilers. Nobody gets whacked. That's the thing. But we pretty much, Carlin told us as much last week, though, because he said that he liked the direction the show was going where it didn't have to build to this big paroxysm of violence. It didn't have to build to this gigantic catharsis. So nobody gets whacked. And it's not even really a spoiler. See, this is the thing about The Sopranos is, with the exception of an episode like where the one where Ralphie gets his head cut off, there aren't a lot of spoilers typically. It isn't really about the things that happen in the show. It's not really about events. It's about how people respond to them. And that's not really a spoiler so much as it is just, you know, you've got to watch the acting. So the only thing that happens of any note, and it's not even a gigantic spoiler because we've known about this for weeks, is that Carmela finds out about Tony and the Russian chick. That's the only thing that happens. But Carmela's known that he's been a weasel for a long time anyway. So, but there's this scene. It's 75 minutes, for one thing. It's a longer episode. But there's this scene between Carmela and Tony that is just... Man, it's just stunning.
I just wouldn't shut up about it this morning.
Oh,
so.
It was great. And especially, like a lot of people, I feel that this season's been lacking in the sort of dramatic punch. The only really good dramatic moments that have come this season are the ones where Tony and Meadow are going at it hammer and tongs, because Jamie Lynn Sigler and James Gandolfini got a real great chemistry together. But last night, man, there's this like 15-minute scene with Carmela and Tony that is just, it's brutal. And it's... And it's almost painful to watch. It's so well done. But it totally makes you salivate for next season. So I'm looking forward to seeing it's not a spoiler, but Carmela does something, which I will not reveal. Carmela does something that you don't see coming because they're having this gigantic fight and she does something and you're like, whoa!
I already heard that on IMS this morning, so you can give that one away.
About Furio. She tells Tony about Furio. And Laura and I do this thing, and I don't know if you all do this, but it's like if you watch a lot of shows that are sort of traumatic, I don't mean dramatic, I mean traumatic, where it's like you feel like the guy behind the show is sitting there punching you. It's like you feel like you're on the chair and the guy is going after your head with a crowbar. And Laura and I will sit there, and it's like when you're watching a horror film, and you're looking through the half-closed fingers, you know, you're like peeking through your hands. And that's how we are last night, because Carmela starts in with let me tell you about me and Furio. And Laura and I are like, no! You know, and it's just horrible. It just, you feel like they've just been going over your brain with a cheese grater by the end of it. It's just, anyway.
Look what's coming up. I have to mark this on my calendar, too, because Thursday the 18th, you know what that is? Elijah Wood and a cast of thousands return to the big screen with the second installment of a trilogy, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
When is that?
18th.
So it's a week from this Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
All right. Going. Excellent.
Anyway, Elijah talked about the opportunity to play a character that changes so much.
You get the opportunity to take a character from, you know, the beginning of their sort of a very innocent kind of pure place, certainly for Frodo.
Has he developed an accent?
You know, all the way across three films to a very negative kind of tortured place. And for me, that was an incredible opportunity and a great challenge.
All right. The only opportunity to hear that really matters is the fact that you can milk this for the rest of your life. This is the great thing about getting a job in the sci-fi or fantasy genre, is that, man, you can ride that thing, that gravy train, for the rest of your life at those sci-fi conventions. You can be like 85 years old. It's like, what's his name? Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi. That guy hated all the Star Wars films, just hated him.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, well, he kept it. Well, that's the thing is, Mark Hamill. I had Mark Hamill on my show one time. This is back when I was in Utah for 3 hours. We had him on the air for 3 hours as a guest, and he was ostensibly there to promote this comic book called The Black Pearl that he was creating. I was like, nobody cares about that. They just want to ask him Star Wars questions. But that guy got 3 hour. He got a 3 hour infomercial on my show, 180 minutes of advertising for his comic book because everybody wants to talk to him about being Luke Skywalker. If you get a job in Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Babylon 5, Xena, any of those things, you can live the rest of your life just on what you charge for an autographed picture at those sci-fi cons. You know what I mean? All right. I didn't just use the word con because that would make me geeky. Here's Charles in Portland. Yo, Charles.
Yo.
What's up, man?
There was a whacking on The Sopranos last night.
No, there wasn't. Who got whacked?
That was the two black guys got whacked.
Oh, but they don't care. They're not mean.
Well, it was a mini whacking. But it was a whack.
And you didn't see it coming either. It was a big surprise.
Yeah.
You didn't see that coming anywhere. Yeah. And the other news is, of course, Christopher is out of rehab and is clean and sober. But, of course, it's not going to last. It never lasts. All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Coming up here in just a few, we got a Gore Watch followed by... What the hell? We have Jim Roop today? Yeah, Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to be here. We got more of your phone calls as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Also, Matt Peterson's top five musical acts of all time, Rick Emerson's Office Confidential, and another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. So you don't want to miss any of it. Stay here. We'll be back. It's Hot Talk 1080 KFTK.
You're listening to the best of The Rick Emerson Show. This is the Emerson News Network.
All right. Who's this? All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
Are you saying that because there's two of us here, or
well,
because you've already forgotten who
I am? Well, because Sarah's hair is still, I know she's ostensibly putting it back red at some point, but it's still kind of blonde. As of today, and so I can't tell the two of you apart.
We just look too much.
You guys
alike,
sit right next to each other, and it's just like the mirror has two faces.
See, well, that'll be easy then, because next week, you know, when I'm not here, she'll show up, and it'll just be
it'll
like
be a
the
smooth
same.
Transition.
It'll be a smooth transition.
It'll be like I'm bewitched. We'll just move one Darren out, move the other Darren
there you
in.
Go. Exactly.
We just call her Christina. It'd be a lot easier mentally for all of us.
I don't know if she'd like that.
Yeah, all right.
That wouldn't be
not
very
not about
polite.
What she likes.
This is very true. Disabled vehicle, right lane blocking I-5 southbound. That's before the Fremont Bridge. That's 405, so expect delays out that way. But that's all I got for you at the moment. This report brought to you by Home Depot. Now through December 24th, get 10% off your first purchase when you open a new Home Depot consumer credit card account. Subject to credit approval. Additional terms apply. See store for details. I'm Christina Carlson. That's your commuter update on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Subject line, on the beginning of Christina's slow descent into alcohol-induced madness. Hey, dude, I was just looking at the Employment Department website for jobs in Bend for Christina. I found a kick-ass announcer-producer job for her in Warm Springs. It pays $7 an hour, requires no experience. Or she could just save time and kill herself now. Can't you guys do an intervention or something to save her? I tried. Well, let me talk to you about interventions. I don't like 15 different interventions. And all it's succeeded in doing, by the way, is blowing the way. I mean, I'm not training Sarah to do the traffic sponsorship that way. Here's my impression of Christina's last traffic sponsorship. This traffic is brought to you.
It wasn't that
crash
bad.
Crash and burn.
It was not that bad.
Why don't you teach Sarah to emulate your traffic in exactly that style,
well,
just to replicate your flaws exactly.
Well, it's not like she has to know it for, like, a long period of time. She's just filling in until you find somebody, so.
Right. Yeah. Whatever you say, sister. So it's Monday. You know, if I hear her coming on Monday and she starts blowing the traffic every time, I'm going to know where she learned it from.
But she only has to do it for a week.
She only has to do it, but she has to do it this week with you here, but then on Monday she has to do it. So,
but I know, but she only has to do it next week for like a week until you find her replacement.
She is the replacement. We told you that like months ago.
Well,
when you first started jabbering about this, when you started talking about this going to Ben nonsense, we told you it was her.
Okay, so you had auditions all last week, and you were planning to give Sarah the job the whole time.
I told you, Sarah. Matt and I told you weeks ago it was going to be Sarah.
Yeah, really. We knew, like, the day after you told us you were leaving, we knew it was Sarah that was taking this.
So why did you bring in all these girls?
Well, like...
There's that's sort of self-explanatory, isn't it?
there's some rule we can't bring chicks in to look at them.
So you brought...
Like, I'm doing this job for the money.
Okay,
I don't think so.
So you brought unemployed women into your station, had them read the traffic. I had to train them how to read a traffic.
Well, they're the most vulnerable.
And they could never, ever get the job because you'd already filled it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Those are horrible people. That is a horrible thing to do.
Oh, please. Please. Come on. Like, you didn't know weeks ago when we were sitting in Bruce's office, we were talking about Sarah probably being the heir apparent. We said that on the air as much.
I didn't know that.
But how about you? Where were you? We were in the office. You were there.
Well, how do you think that makes Sarah feel?
Yeah, you're probably going to
That you're bringing in all these girls and that she's the choice the whole time, but...
Probably makes her feel pretty good. She's got a job.
Oh, please. Like we were going to give the job to the nun. I mean, that like we'd ever get any work done around here then.
You guys are horrible people.
Like we'd ever be able to concentrate or focus on our jobs with some nun in a low-cut blouse walking around. I don't think so. You should know better than that.
So I do understand now why you wouldn't let any men come in to actually audition for the job. Because you'd already filled it with another female.
Because that's what I want. A big sausage fest in here while I'm trying to do the show. I don't think so.
Whatever.
Don't your ass acting all innocent out of the loop like you didn't know it was the case. We talked about Sarah.
I was out of the loop. Okay. I was never told about this. So.
You were told. You sat in Bruce's office with us while we talked about Sarah being the most likely one to step in. Just because we were having the chicks in last week to audition, that didn't override all our previous discussions.
I would think that you could see where I would be confused.
Oh, please. Like, I have to spell everything out for you. You should be able to read between the lines. We're men. You've been around us long enough.
I have been around you long enough. And how many times have I forgotten something?
Yeah.
Very, very rarely. So I thought I was never told about this.
Okay. Whatever you say. Okay, coming up here in just a moment, we've got a Gore Watch. This, however, is our man in Los Angeles. I've just got her here for my health. All right. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I don't have the sort of family rift you have going on there.
I'm surrounded by puny brains everywhere. I'm just surrounded by treacherous fools. I feel like, Procutio or what's his name? He's going to stab me through a curtain. Anyway, what's up in the great city of Angels?
Oh, you name it, man. You missed a great sentencing with Winona Ryder on Friday. That was beautiful. That was a show in itself. That was worth the wait.
Oh, and this whole thing that she stole like $6,000 worth of merchandise and had some drugs on her she wasn't supposed to have, and apparently is a previous shoplifter, and she gets a day suspended and some probation.
Right. Well, she has to do a lot of community service,
and
she has to have it finished by April 7th.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just her attorney, Mark Argus, tried to paint her as a humanitarian for a number of things, her work with the American Indians and for her work with the Poly Class Foundation. But still, I mean, she's a felon, man. she stole the stuff. Doesn't excuse her from her crime.
Yeah, I'm sure that it has nothing at all to do with the fact that she's a rich white celebrity. I'm sure that a lot of poor black folks who are convicted of stealing $6,000, they get a day of, suspended sentence. It happens. There are guys in California, they steal a package of Keebler Soft Batch, and they're in the penitentiary the rest of their life, man.
Third-strike victims.
God.
I tell you, even the judge asked her the question that his 16-year-old son asked him, why would Winona Ryder steal $6,000 worth of merchandise when she very well had the money to pay for it?
Clearly because she's mental.
That's exactly what he said. He said, you have some problems to address.
Yeah, she's obviously mental. Did you see, there was the best part of the Winona trial was that when the prosecutor told her to quit whoring the dead body of that Poly Class girl.
Yeah.
Because she stood up. Yeah, because she said Winona Ryder's been doing all stuff with the Poly Class Foundation, which is that girl in New Jersey, I think it was, that was kidnapped and killed. And anyway, but the prosecutor basically said, you've been whoring the body of this poor dead girl for a year trying to look like Mother Teresa. Get off it. And Winona Ryder stands up, and for a minute I thought she was going to go over there and give her a sock.
Yeah, we all did. We all thought, all right, catfight. That would be great.
Yeah, baby, that's what I was looking for. And then unfortunately, we had to just do like a pay-per-view battle of the celebrity boxers thing with them. I'd watch that. Hey, you, now you had to go to this god-awful, this hideous People's Choice thing?
Yeah, the nominations came out last week. I mean, I'm surprised this thing lasted 29 years.
Let me ask you, what people wear? They never asked me about this.
You know, I never hear about the voting until the nominations come out. I don't know how they do it. It must be online somewhere, but for the past 29 years, I mean, that's a long time, and there hasn't been the computer voting that there has been, you know, the past couple of years, where this comes from, I have no idea.
I'm pretty plugged into pop culture. The People's Choice Awards, never once have I been chosen to be one of the people, ever. So that's why it's always so bad. I mean, I don't even know who's nominated, but it's probably the same crap it always is.
There's nobody new.
Probably Jennifer Lopez and Michelle Branch and U2 and a bunch of crap.
Jennifer Aniston, Patricia Heaton, you know, all those, you know. I mean, there are new shows because there's a new show category like Bernie Mac and Cedric the Entertainer and that kind of thing, but, you know, it is nothing new. I mean, you could rerun last year's tape and nothing will change.
So they ought to do that one year just to see if anybody notices. Just a bunch of dreck. There's just nothing. On to something else. This is a little more hideous. This business of United. Is United definitely filing for bankruptcy now?
They have, yeah. That's about 4 o'clock this morning Pacific time.
And it's the biggest, is it the biggest airline bankruptcy ever?
Ever.
Ever. And so that's going to screw how many people come this holiday season?
Sure. Well, none this holiday season, but shortly thereafter, there'll be a lot of people losing their jobs, I guarantee it. I mean, you're talking, this company lost $4 billion over the past 2 years, for heaven's sake.
It's beginning to look a lot like Enron. All right. So it's just a bad scene. Let's move to another country.
Yeah, Sweden. They seem to be all right over there.
And they got those hot chicks there in beer that's like 12% alcohol.
Yeah, and 12 cents a glass.
Yeah,
too.
There you go,
we should have auditioned some Swedish girls for Christina's job.
I am a Swedish girl.
Yeah, but you don't count. You're traitors.
You're leaving.
When we fire Sarah, we'll get some Swedish girls in. All right, it's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. There you go. 1-800-727-5955.
I didn't know Sarah was going to be coming in and taking my job.
She's just trying to be all down with the sisterhood and defending the women and so forth. That's all that is. Let's see. Jesse, Portland, you're on Hot Talk to Nitty KFTK. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What do you got, man?
I just wanted to call and say thanks for allowing me to come in last week.
Oh, is this Jesse that dropped off the video game for Matt? Matt's got like his own side business here where people just give. There ought to just be a company called Give Matt Stuff Incorporated. Give Matt a bunch of free swag.
And I want to tell you something real quick.
Yeah.
You guys really do work with probably the most beautiful women in radio.
I'm telling you, man, we are the exception that proves the rule about radio women all looking like gutter pigs.
Exactly.
Because the women on the show are all hot, but women everywhere else in radio, just a bunch of wildebeests. It's sad.
Everybody needs to go to the toy drive to see Christina before she leaves.
That's what I like to hear. There's that plug I'm talking about. All right. 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley. Time for the Gore Watch. Here's your Al Gore Watch from Monday.
Well, Al Gore said he doesn't believe Iraq's weapons declaration is truthful in suggesting the nation doesn't possess any weapons of mass destruction.
You know, they got kind of two policies going down the parallel tracks there, and they have to decide at the end of the day which one they're going to take. But the president decided to change course and to go to the United Nations, and now there is ambiguity in the way the rest of the world interprets that resolution compared to the way some in the White House are trying to interpret it.
Can I just tell you, I'm tired of people starting sentences with "at the end of the day." Just stop. Shut up. I heard some. There's some new hideous country song out now. Can I just tell you this too? Here's another thing. Yeah. Anytime some phrase or slogan or catch phrase enters the popular lexicon, you can just start your Seiko, and it's going to be like 13 seconds until there's a country song with that as the hook. Because there's some new song at the end of the day, you know. It's just, and as soon as some new slogan I'm surprised there isn't a song called like "What You Talking About, Willis" or something. Because that's the whole country music method, is just to wait for some stupid slogan and then make it into a song or like a bumper sticker.
Oh, like "Mama Says Something."
Exactly. Exactly.
Have you heard the Starbucks country song?
Oh God.
It talks about this guy being in line at one of the 9 Starbucks in Portland, or more than that Starbucks in Portland, and it's just...
Is it in Portland?
You know how when you work at a radio station, they'll like...
They do custom versions.
Yeah. And so he talks about being in line at this Starbucks and falling in love with this girl who happened to be getting the same coffee he does. And
oh, God. Just makes you want to jab out your ears with a dull spatula. All right, what are we doing, Gore Watch?
Yeah, the White House is giving out false information that Al-Qaeda has a link to Saddam.
the assertion that Al-Qaeda, run by Osama bin Laden, is virtually the same
thing. This is completely edited. You can hear them clipping it together.
Said, as Saddam Hussein in Iraq. There's no evidence that's been presented for that. It appears not to be true.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, the economy's bad. We have to do something.
I offered the president two bits of advice on the economy. First, scrap his economic team, and second,
I'm sure
scrap
that
his economic
W's all about taking advice from Al Gore at this point.
Advice, but he
wouldn't take advice from Al Gore on how to get a ketchup stain out of your tablecloth these days. The Al Gore, and in fact, at this point in history, if Al Gore offered you advice, wouldn't you do exactly the opposite? Like, if Al Gore came and suggested something, wouldn't you act in a diametrically opposed fashion? Turn left, taking a right. You know, just as soon as Al Gore says something, you just know that that's not the thing you got to do. Is that our Gore Watch?
That's our Gore
There's
Watch.
There's your Gore Watch for Monday. You know.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. 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 Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Oh. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-3030. Oh, we got Kurt here in just a minute. Is he calling from New Jersey? The hell is that about? All right. So we got Kurt here in a moment about celebrity boxing. More of your phone calls coming up later. How Chicks Think, another edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential. Top five later, Richard Nunn from the WB and all that. And here's the lovely Jeanette Napolitano and Concrete Blonde. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You just like to have plausible deniability. That's your whole thing.
No.
You like to be able to sit there and go, I didn't know that we were just bringing in these girls to ogle them.
Okay.
Matt and Rick never tell me anything.
No, let's just think about this. If we were sitting in a meeting and you said, okay, let's hire Sarah, but let's bring a bunch of girls, don't you think I would have piped up during the meeting?
Well, which
had
is
I
why we
there?
Didn't phrase it exactly that way. That's the sort of thing that human resources tends to frown upon.
Well, I would imagine so.
That's like you can never actually say, look, if they don't put out, they get out. I mean, you can't put it that way. You've got to sort of.
So you're saying that you said it in such a clever way that you cloaked it that I didn't hear it.
It's not my fault you're not paying attention.
I get it.
Here's Christina with the traffic.
Still a disabled vehicle causing some problems. That freeway is stalled, right lane blocking I-5 southbound before the Fremont Bridge, so expect delays there on the southbound side of I-5 before 405. This report brought to you by the KOTK Auction. Thousands of great items are for sale at huge discounts. Bidding ends today at 3 o'clock at KOTK.com. I'm Christina Carlson. That's your commuter update on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. This is the Emerson News Network.
We've got freedom of religion, I understand. But ground zero is one location where a mosque shouldn't stand.
Can't let them build it. No, 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 no.
There's a painful memory in our minds.
Memory in our minds.
Our hearts keep breaking. Whoa. When we envision that tragic time. Retain the honor and trust.
Are you kidding me?
3,000 people died a block and a half away? Are you serious?
Many innocent Americans were killed. If we let them build it, can't you see? They'll turn 9/11 to a mockery. We gotta stop the musket round zero.
Oh, yeah.
Coming their nose at every big gun.
Making fools of us.
Thousands of Americans died in the attack.
It's a slap in the face, and there's no doubt about it.
We gotta stop the musket round zero.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. Hears you. Hears you. Hears you. Hears you. Hears you.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. This is the Emerson News Network.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. You all know our next guests. They can be seen on the MTV series The Hills, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on MTV. New episodes airing now. Let's give a very warm welcome to Heidi and Spencer. And welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. How are you guys doing today?
Morning. How are you?
I am dandy. Spencer, you there? We got both of you?
Oh, are you kidding me? I would have missed this for anything in the world.
Well, excellent. I like to think that the Rick Emerson Show's reputation precedes itself. Right out of the gate, I want to ask you, you know, and Spencer, the world of show business, you know, in some ways, it's a really dark place. You know, it's a place that can be really, you know, slimy. You know, it stinks some of the things that people do. But you're kind of like Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction. You're the cleaner. You're there to really kind of clean that dark place out and make it a much better place to be.
That was my favorite quote I've ever heard, because when I was executive producing The Prince of Malibu, we had an episode where we, like, called in the wolf, the cleaner. Like, oh, man, I can't even believe I got referred to as the cleaner.
You guys have already done so much, you know, from The Hills to I'm a Celebrity to all those other TV appearances and the projects in it. It doesn't really seem like there's any stopping you. You seem to have a real skill for taking something that, after all, this could be, you know, not so fresh and really making it shine like new. What's the secret?
It's just loving what you do. Heidi and I love the limelight and fame and Hollywood and entertainment and being creative, I think, more than anybody else out here. So it just shows, because whereas it's work for other people and annoying to deal with so much stuff, like, we live for it.
Talking to Heidi and Spencer, Heidi, obviously you've grown a lot as an artist, you know, with your music and branching out into so many new things. And you obviously really motivate Spencer to break new ground and find new opportunities, you know, to never let things get stale. Does it work the same way for you? Does Spencer really work to keep it fresh?
Definitely. I think, you know, I've worked really hard in my music. I've been trying now for 3 years. My album's almost out, and, you know, Spencer's been there every step of the way. I definitely couldn't have done it, and he always keeps it fresh, always keeps it real, always keeps it very entertaining, and I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't appreciate enough about him.
Now that you guys have conquered so many areas of the entertainment world, it does seem like anything's possible. And, I mean, you must feel a lot of that confidence. Spencer, do you feel that way? Like, if you see an opening, you can just get in there and clean up?
I mean, honestly, I really feel like if Obama can become president, if he was 5 years ago just trying to be a state senator in Illinois, I feel like it would be easy for Spidey to get the White House 10 years from now.
Excellent. We are talking, of course, to the one and only Heidi and Spencer. You guys have both been through so much. You've been through the ringer. And yet, you know, it's great that, you know, and I mean this sincerely, your love really survives. It perseveres. In a way, it's almost like this Shakespearean story. It's almost like it's like a Midsummer Night's Dream, you know, but it's your lives that you guys kind of are that summer's eve, in a sense, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And to me, it's almost like Bonnie and Clyde. It's kind of Spencer and I against the world. So I think really, you know, through everything, we've just been strengthened through everything, because we really only have each other through everything. And I completely agree with you.
Both of you guys, Heidi and Spencer, you guys both have a real knack for staying out there, making sure that people are really aware of you. It's kind of like you know, it's kind of like when it rains, you know, whether you love it or hate it, when it rains, those rain showers really kind of fall on everybody, whether they want it or not. And you guys are really kind of the big showers in that way. Does that come naturally?
I would say we're more like
like a class 5 tsunami hurricane, and one that just keeps on coming in cycles. So that rain is more like, you know, to other celebrities, a rain. We're definitely 5 class hurricane.
We're talking to Heidi and Spencer. A lot of times, you know, couples who are brought together in this way via show business or through celebrity, you know, the personalities don't blend. They kind of go together like oil and water, but with you guys, it really is the right combination, where Spencer, you're a little more aggressive, Heidi, maybe a little more mellow. It's almost, you know, it's like that old phrase, you know, where you guys are just, you're full of, you know, water and vinegar. You know, was that chemistry always obvious?
When I first met Spencer that first night, I said to everyone, I'm marrying him. I love him. This is it. He's my soulmate. God put him on this earth for me, and I feel that way ever since. There's just...
And Spencer... Do you agree? You feel the same way?
I wouldn't have married any female on the earth in my life. That's why I know it's that way, because the thought that I even got married just shows me how obsessed I am with my wife. But also, I'm like, whoa, I got married. I love you that much.
And really, just I want to thank you guys so much for spending some time with us. The new episodes of The Hills are on right now, MTV Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Heidi and Spencer, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for joining us, and best of continued success in all things.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Check out Heidi's music on iTunes.
Okay.
You're listening to the best of The Rick Emerson Show. This is the Emerson News Network. You're listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. This is the Emerson News Network.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Subject line, things to do in Bend. Rick, there's only two things to do in Bend, bowling and bawling. I hope for John's sake Christina gives up bowling. Remember, Christina, God is the one who provides. He clearly wants you to live in a trailer. Draw your own conclusions. Later, Doug. Is Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
Hey, we were just talking about stuff like this. Eight men have been treated at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle for exposure to chlorine. They had nausea and watery eyes after breathing fumes from an over-chlorinated pool at 24-hour fitness.
Do you ever drink a lot of that pool water when you were a kid, and then you feel all nauseous and your stomach feels all squishy later?
Yeah, but you do live.
Yeah.
No, the rest of us were smart enough not to drink the pool water.
No, but by accident, like if you start to drown or something. All right, anyway. Maybe it's just me.
Well, it's Anna Nicole meets Sex in the City. HBO presented Cat House, a visit to the Moonlight Bunny Ranch last night. One guy who brought his wife wanted a menage a trois.
Well, what, can I look at what you guys have so I can see what, you know, I've never done this before, so I'm not sure, you know, you're explaining stuff like that, but I, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that doesn't sound creepy and icky at all. Jesus. Do you ever notice there's some things that can make sex just look completely unappealing and like something you'd never want to do? I was talking to Kim about that this week. We were talking about the Linda Lovelace.
Yeah.
Because it looks like Angelina Jolie is going to play Linda Lovelace in the Deep Throat movie, the movie of Linda Lovelace's life. And it's like, have you ever seen Deep Throat, the movie? It's just the most unappealing, like, sex just looks so revolting afterwards. You're like, sex is gross. I never want to do that. That's what some of these shows, it's like these brothels they look like. It just makes it look like something completely revolting and something you'd never even want to consider.
Well, ranch manager Dennis Hoff says one of his girls makes $2,000 an hour.
Well, and that's an example. You know, you can spend as little or as much in the Bunny Ranch as you want.
Is this the guy that invited us to the Pips and Hoes birthday ball?
She's the most photographed penthouse pet ever.
Yeah.
She's on the stands right now as a Hustler centerfold, and she's a VCA contract girl. It's a trophy hunter's dream.
Yeah. Jesus, that sounds really creepy. Yep. I mean, even by guy standards, she's a trophy hunter's dream. Yeah. You can hit her in the head with a shovel when she's not looking. And just the whole, by dint of being in Hustler, I gotta just say this, God love nudity and all that, but Hustler is just, I can't read Hustler, it's just sleazy. And I know that that sounds strange coming from me.
There's nothing to read.
No, but Hustler women are all kind of skanky and everything, you know what I mean? It's like the Hustler women are those...
Surprise, surprise, I mean, come on.
Well, no, but I mean, you look in Playboy, and women in Playboy are not sleazy. Women in Penthouse are typically not sleazy, they can be, ever since... Penthouse got into this whole business of chicks peeing. Have you noticed that? Like, when did that start become, like, when did that become something guys want to see? No, thank you. But Hustler women, it's like, they're like women you want to have the lights off and, like, the blinds tightly drawn to avoid even the smallest crack of light falling upon their hideous figures. That's exactly what Hustler women are like. You know what I mean? Where you just sex with your eyes closed because you don't want those memories coming back to haunt you in the dark hours. What are we talking about?
Cat House, which presented Thrills and Chills.
Yes.
McRib is back.
Just kidding.
And there's also something that's so compelling. They caught Divine Brown from the Divine Brown and Hugh Grant.
God.
Her pimp on camera trying to steal one of our girls.
Man, okay.
And for a minute there, I was scared. I thought we ruined our perfect record.
McRib is back.
I had one of those moments at our Christmas party. You kind of caught me on that. Do you remember that?
So on Friday, it wasn't really a Christmas party, but we were doing this thing where we decorate the tree in the lobby. It was this festive holiday office spirit thing. But in the conference room, they had a bunch of, like, you know, plates of, like, Christmas crap. And so Christina and I are walking in there, and there's, like, these shortbread cookies, which I guess are, like, the greatest shortbread cookies ever. And so we're walking in, and literally, this is what I hear. What's the name of the shortbread?
Walker's shortbread.
Walker's shortbread is back. Like, it was totally a Jack Osborne moment. It's like you were channeling him. All right, Kurt, what's up with you?
Hey, man. I work out at the Grand Avenue Club. You were talking about Tonya Harding. I think we should set up a fight, celebrity fight.
So she can kick my ass?
No, not you. We'll put Matt in a dress.
Oh. No,
I'm just kidding.
Matt can bring one of his dresses from home.
I know.
Yeah.
I say we set up a fight.
Don't have any home. They're all at the cleaners.
I'm sorry. What was that, Kurt?
I say we set up a fight for one of the listener parties.
Oh, I'm a big fan of that. I'm a huge fan of that idea. Get Tanya, beat somebody's ass, like, let's say, Matt. And so what is it? He says you're from New Jersey, or you're in New Jersey. What is that about?
Well, I'm from New Jersey, but my manager and Ed Milberger, my trainer, are from Portland.
Oh, so you're a fighter. You're a boxer.
Yeah. Well, excellent. I used to be Golden Gloves. Now I coach the kids, and instead of them captain somebody in St. John's, we get them into the gym.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is it possible to punch someone in the nose and kill them by driving their nose into their brain, or is that just a myth?
Actually, if you do an uppercut, you can snap the neck. You can do it with uppercuts. I've seen it done.
Really?
I got some tapes if you want to see it, but it's pretty brutal.
Of a guy getting his neck snapped?
Oh, yeah. I got tons of tapes of that.
Oh, we totally want to see that. Matt?
I'm all. Yeah, that's like, get some popcorn and kick back.
Yeah, I'll put you on hold here. You can talk to Matt. We'll drop that off or something. We'll do something. Yeah, I'm with that. All right.
That sounds wonderful.
The proceeding was a production of the Emerson News Network.